Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you to the leadership of Jubilee Presbyterian Church for this invitation and the privilege to share God's word with everyone, and also working towards the goal of faith in practice, living in faith together with all of you. The recent news of the LA fires reminded me of a description in the Bible that God is a consuming fire. When we see the images of the aftermath of the fires, we can understand why many of the locals describe it as apocalyptic. The raging fires consume all that was in the path, and the places changed forever. They are no longer how they used to be. Dear brothers and sisters, the title of the sermon today is Encountering the Living Word. Over here, the Living Word refers to Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. And when we truly encounter Jesus, just like the LA fires, we will never be the same. We will be changed forever. Let's start by reading the main passage of today, taken from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of their boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken, and so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to encounter you in your word today. Prepare us to hear and respond to you without distractions. Please speak, for your servants are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. The first point, the necessity of the personal word. There's this car decal that says, "I've got nothing against God, it's his fan club I can't stand." This statement should be a wake-up call for all of us who call ourselves Christians. Most likely this decal was describing nominal Christians who may know about Jesus, may even know about theology and the Bible, but their lives are not in sync with what they know in the heads. In some ways, they are like the crowds that's mentioned in Luke chapter 5, verse 1. They wanted to hear the word of God and even followed Jesus physically, just to hear him. But what was missing was the personal word. They heard God's word, but may not have encountered the living word. Simon Peter, one of the fishermen, who became the leader among the disciples of Jesus, was also one who heard Jesus' teaching. But what made the difference is found in verse 4, which says, "And when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon." I don't know whether you are like me and you have this question. So has Jesus finished speaking or not? Is this something like an after credit of a movie, so much so that the end is not the end? There's something after that. I think what was happening here was, yes, Jesus has finished his teaching, but Jesus' message to Simon is not completed yet. Therefore, he continued speaking to Simon. Now let us look at what Jesus said to Simon. The first thing he said, he gave him an instruction that was directly related to Simon's expertise, fishing. Secondly, Jesus spoke to Simon's emotions by telling him not to be afraid. And thirdly, Jesus gave him a new purpose in life. Dear brothers and sisters, do you see how personal these words were? They were no longer broad truths for all humanity. God loves the world. They were targeted specifically at Simon. Following Jesus is not just a mental assent to the biblical message during Sunday worship. It is a transformation of all aspects of our lives, from our work, our emotions, the way we see ourselves, and even our futures. Where are we in our journey as followers of Christ? Have all of us here truly encountered the living word? Or is God's word just some information in our heads? We need the personal word of God that speaks to our lives and our hearts. But what should we do since Jesus is now no longer physically with us? He's now in heaven, and we can't meet him face to face like Simon. In the Institutes of Christian Religion, John Calvin wrote that, "For the word of God is not received by faith if it fleets about in the top of the brain, but when it takes root in the depth of the heart, that it may be an invincible defense to withstand and drive off all the stratagems of temptation. But if it is true that the mind's real understanding is illumination by the Spirit of God, then in such confirmation of the heart, his power is much more clearly manifested to the extent that the heart's distrust is greater than the mind's blindness." What a long paragraph, but in short, we encounter the living word right now through the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit help to give us the correct understanding of God's word. And we also need the Holy Spirit help to apply God's word in our hearts. Only then can our lives change forever. When God allows us to encounter the living word through the Holy Spirit, we must respond to it. Just like when the LA fires came, the residents there, they must respond to it. They cannot just sit down, "I'm going to live my life just as usual." No, they have to respond. But how we respond is a choice. So the second point, the choice to respond in submission. What was Jesus' first personal word to Simon? Based on the passage that we read, what was Jesus' first personal word to Simon? Anyone? Silence. Well, your phones. You can just flip to Luke chapter 5. Okay. The first word to Simon actually happened before Jesus taught the crowd. Okay, let's look at the passage. In verse 3, Jesus told Simon to put out his boat a little from the land. We may have read this passage many times, so we don't really notice this anymore. But this request of Jesus was actually quite brazen. First of all, Jesus got into Simon's boat without invitation. Next, he told Simon to move it so he could use it to preach. What was the significance of the boat to Simon? It was not just a mode of transportation. Just like some of us here, maybe you have a car or a motorcycle. The boat was Simon's tool of trade. In today's context, Jesus was not saying, "I'm going to preach at Jubilee Church. Can you send me to the church because I cannot get Grab?" No. Jesus was telling Simon, "Let me preach at your school, your work, your company." We read in the passage that Simon obeyed. Perhaps this was a cultural thing where they were very hospitable, so they would usually agree to such requests, maybe. But the second personal word to Simon was even more intrusive. In verse 4, Jesus gave him instructions to fish. While Simon was okay with the first instruction, he was not so ready to obey the second one. He had to question it. In verse 5, Simon gave a little protest, explaining to Jesus that they had already worked hard all night, but they had caught nothing. Simon was a seasoned fisherman. And Jesus was a teacher and most likely know something about carpentry. But Jesus once again entered Simon's boundary, targeting areas of Simon's expertise, and given him an instruction that did not make any logical sense at all. After all, there's this saying that goes, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Perhaps because Simon had a previous encounter with Jesus in chapter 4, where Jesus healed his mother-in-law, so Simon decided to obey Jesus. Or perhaps he was just pacifying Jesus so that when it failed, Simon can tell Jesus, "I told you so." Who knows? But whatever the reasons, Simon said, "But at your word, I will let down the nets." And Simon obeyed. This decision made all the difference. Dear brothers and sisters, just as Jesus met with Simon and deliberately stepped within his boundary, resulting in Simon having to decide how to respond to him, likewise, God is not interested to stay within the boundaries that we may have set for him. For example, Sunday worship, church activities, our group of fellowship friends. He wants to be intimately involved in all areas of our lives, including our expertise, our work, our family, our emotions, our self-identity. And what he calls us to do may not make sense and may even be challenging our experiences and what we know to be true. In fact, at times when God calls us to do what he calls us to do may even feel a bit foolish. But this is when, dear brothers and sisters, we need to choose what our response will be. Are we willing to say like Simon did, "But at your word, I will let down the nets. But at your word, I will leave my job and study theology. But at your word, I will let my child go to where God has called him or her to go. But at your word, I will take the initiative to greet the person who hates me. But at your word, I will revisit my past trauma and face the pain with Jesus. But at your word, I will give to the person, even though I also need the money for someone else, for something else." Dear brothers and sisters, it's not easy to submit to God, since it is to deny ourselves and surrender to him. But when we learn not to lean on our own understanding and take the step of faith to submit and obey God, we can then experience the joy and surprise that submission brings. The third point, the result that transforms from the inside out. After Simon chose to submit, we read that the outcome was a supernatural catch of fish. So much so that not just Simon's boat, but the other boat began to sink. When Simon witnessed this miraculous catch of fish, can you just imagine yourself as one of the fishermen? I don't know, if I were there, I would think, I might say, "Hallelujah! What a nian nian yo yu." I'm sorry, it's Chinese New Year, pardon my joke. But Simon's response, I don't know whether it's shocking to you. It wasn't unique just to Simon. In the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah had a similar response when he witnessed the Lord's might and majesty. Simon's response wasn't just unique to him. We read in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, after seeing the majesty of God, Isaiah said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." What was happening in both situations is that when we meet with God, we see the truth about ourselves. We realize that we are unworthy sinners before the great and holy God. And this realization brings fear. The solution to this fear is not self-talk, it's not positive thinking, but receiving God's redemption. In Isaiah, God brought about the redemption through a burning coal from the altar. After the seraphim touched Isaiah's mouth with the burning coal, it said, "Behold, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." In the Old Testament, the altar was used to sacrifice sin and guilt offerings to God. Though the offering of an unblemished animal, through this offering, the sin and guilt of the Israelites were atoned for. Even though we do not see this sacrificial lamb in Isaiah, but Isaiah himself was still forgiven through the result of a perfect sacrifice. But in Simon's case, we notice that there was no such arrangement. There's no seraphim, there's no altar, it was just Jesus. What happened after he acknowledged his sins and unworthiness was Jesus' response of, "Do not be afraid." The reason why Jesus could give these words of assurance was because he himself was going to be that perfect sacrifice who will cleanse all our sins and guilt once and for all when he died on the cross for us. And Jesus is the one who has the authority to forgive sins. Because of Jesus, instead of fear, Simon is now experiencing the new reality of being forgiven. So the first change after encountering the living word is an inner change of being set free from fear and enjoying reconciliation with God. Another result of encountering the living word is an outward change. For Simon, the story started out quite discouraging. He worked for a whole night, but received absolutely nothing for the labor. There was a sense of futility, of wasted effort. But after encountering Jesus, Simon caught so many fish that threatened to sink two boats. But that's not all. In the second part of verse 10, Jesus gave him a new commission. From now on, you will be catching men. Not only did Jesus transform his original work and made it more fruitful, but Jesus gave Simon a future, a purpose, a new identity. He was no longer catching fish to make a living to support himself and his family. He was going to catch people for Christ. In other words, through him, many people will also receive the blessings of being reconciled to God. The scope and impact of his life expanded from just his immediate family to a large area. And the rewards for his labor also changed from temporal to eternal. And while people may fail us and abandon us halfway, Jesus doesn't. If he calls us to something and we respond to the call, he will see us through it all the way. We see that later on, God did indeed use Simon to catch people, to bring people to know and accept Jesus. In Acts chapter 2, Simon preached powerfully after receiving the Holy Spirit, and verse 41 tells us that those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And later on in verse 47, we read that the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This bountiful catch of people continued in Acts chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. Jesus not only gave Simon a commission, he also brought it to fruition. Last year, Sword and Light published an article on Mr. Levin Wee, who started this Bible Bento ministry, which presents Bible stories and biblical truths to children in attractive ways through the use of anime and AI on social media platforms. It all started when Levin received a personal word from God. What God told him one day was, children love Bible stories, like Daniel in the lion's den. When Levin prayed about it, the idea of creating Bible videos for kids hit him. But this was challenging for him because usually he was quite awkward around children. But later that morning, his pastor said the exact same sentence during a devotion. So Levin chose to respond to God in submission, and he started creating different videos. And he assumed that these videos were for countries that are very into anime, such as Singapore, Philippines. But as Levin continued praying, he had this image of different African flags. Once again, this did not make any sense because Levin didn't know much about African culture. He doesn't know what's happening there to the Christianity. Next, God called him to quit his job to work on the project full-time. This meant that he now had no financial support for this ministry. But once again, because he trusted that God will provide for him, he did it anyway. The story continues. God prompted him in a dream to accept help from a Nigerian follower of Bible Bento. I don't know about you, if I were him, I'd be very scared. I mean, we already know Singaporeans are very easily scammed, right? So, I don't know. When he woke up from the dream, right, Rume, the Nigerian in the photo, texted him saying that the Holy Spirit has nudged him to volunteer with the project. Coincidence? God later challenged Levin, hear this, right, to pay Rume for his volunteer work. Remember, he has already left his job. Levin wondered, I'm leaving my job, I got no income, and now, God, you want me to pay him? God responded by saying, if you provide for him, if you are willing to provide for him, I will provide for you. Once again, Levin chose to submit by faith and transferred $200 to Rume while still worried about depleting his bank account. The next day, Levin met up with someone to share about his ministry over lunch. And right after lunch, this person transferred, guess how much? $200 exact to Levin to support his ministry. Looking back to when Bible Bento Project was conceived, Levin said, this ministry is not about me because I know that it's not my idea. And I know all this comes from first saying yes and stepping out first. Then God walks with you. Dear brothers and sisters, Levin responded in submission after encountering the living word and was given a new purpose to impact a wider audience beyond his imagination. Even though he was challenged to step out of his comfort zone many, many times, each time, God provided for and assured him. Where are we in this journey of encountering the living word? For those who have yet to receive a personal word from God, if your knowledge of God is really just in your head, are you willing to pray and ask God, ask the Holy Spirit to help you encounter Jesus? For those who have already heard from God, are you still struggling to submit to God in obedience because what God is asking you to do is too demanding or it doesn't make sense at all? Are you willing to say as Simon did, but at your word, I will? For those who have already responded to God, and it seems that for now things are going south, things are not going well, are you willing to trust that God is the one who will fulfill his purpose for you? So much so that you keep following him, you keep following his leading, even when it is hard. May all of us respond like the fisherman in Luke chapter 5, verse 11, who was described as, these people, they left everything and followed Jesus. Let's follow Jesus together.